I don't know about you, but oftentimes, year in and year out, there are several problems in my life that I don't seem to get permanent victory over. You know what I'm talking about? And what we're going to do tonight is to address ourselves to some problems that a person has. And I really believe that I can give you some basic principles that can enable you to have victory this next year if you will apply these principles. Now, there are several stages of approaching a problem, and that's what we're going to talk about. Now, let me talk about some problems for a minute. It may be that there is some friction in the home, husband-wife relationships. Okay? It may be that there's friction between parent and child. It may be that there's some stronghold areas that you've still not had success and victory in. It may be in the area of lust. It may be in the area of anger, resentment. It may be in the area of alcohol or drugs. It may be in the area of weight, overweight. We want to get practical, don't we? Okay, now what you're going to want to do is to sort of zero in on a particular area tonight. It may be in the area of a work relationship, job, your boss, employer-employee relationships. It might be school, homework. It might be bad grades. It might be I don't have any friends. It might be finances. There are lots of problems, and I just want to encourage you to zero in on one of them tonight. There will really be two things that will make the difference. One, if God will give us revelation, and that's up to Him. And two, if we'll be honest. That's the key. If you and I will be honest with what God tells us, then God can effect change in the life. Now pray with me just a moment. Lord, we do ask You to bring revelation to our heart tonight. And Lord, may we receive it joyfully, expectantly, and honestly. And it is in Your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. There are five stages that a person goes through when he's dealing with a problem. And the first stage, it says five stages to wholeness. Five stages to victory over a problem. And the first stage is this. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. The alcoholic, before he can get help, has to come to the point of saying, I have a problem. And we see over and over that a person cannot receive aid in a particular area until he admits to himself, I have a problem. I'm not overweight. I'm just a little bit plump. Now, there's no way I'm going to get help with a weight problem if I don't think I'm overweight, right? This attitude of rebellion will come out like this. Well, I don't care what you think. Now, usually there are people around to remind us, you've got a problem in this area. You are failing school. I don't care. If you don't do something about our home, I'm leaving. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't care attitude. I'm not so bad. Look at old so-and-so. Nothing's wrong with me. All of these are in the stage of rebellion. Usually, there is a defensive mechanism that goes off. And it's something like this. Projection. I don't have the problem. You got the problem. I'm not full of hate. You're full of hate. And all the people around me are full of bitterness and resentment, if that were the problem. Projection. I'm surrounded by hateful people. In fact, they're trying to run my life. Just If they would just back off, I'd be all right. I don't have a problem. You know, if you'd straighten your act up, I'd be okay. So we see rebellion. Now, this scripture I'd never seen before until this week. In Isaiah 44, verse 20. Turn to that, if you would. Because the problem with rebellion is self-deception. I'm deceived. I don't think I have a problem. Now, to be honest, I had to look this up in Matthew Henry to see what Matthew had to say about this. I wasn't sure what it meant. Isaiah 44:20. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, now, Isaiah was giving God's judgment on sin. He said, now, you've been living in sin, and God is going to judge you. Well, now, how does God judge him? How does God judge the people, and how does God judge us when we've been living in sin and are unwilling to admit it? He says, he feeds on ashes. Now, we eat food in order to get nourishment and to get life, don't we? Now, what if I was eating ashes all the time? Is there any nourishment in ashes? There isn't, is there? Now, they were living in idolatry. They were living in sin. And they were feeding on this, looking for life. Lots of times we're looking to a particular thing to give us life, whether it's lust, whether it's revenge, whether it's eating, whether it's alcohol. And it says, you are feeding on this problem. You're deceived. You're thinking you're going to get nourishment and life out of it, but it's just like feeding on ashes. You're eating ashes, and there's no nutrition there. Secondly, you have a deceived heart. A deceived heart has turned him aside. You were going in the right direction, and because your heart has deceived you, you're now going off this way. You're living in sin, and you don't know it. And he cannot deliver himself. As long as we're going in the wrong direction and we don't know it, we can't deliver ourselves from it. You see what I'm saying? If I am an alcoholic and I'm enjoying it and I don't admit that this is a problem in my life, I'll not be able to deliver myself from it or any other problem that I might have. And then this last phrase, this person will not be able to say, is there not a lie in my right hand? This person is not able to say, could I be wrong? Have I been fooling myself about this problem? When a person finally begins to come to the point and say, well, you know, I might be wrong. This alcohol may be wrong. This weight may be wrong. The way I've been treating my wife may be wrong. When there is a little bit of I might be wrong, I'm admitting I could, there's a possibility, there is the first hope. There is a glimpse of hope for that person. Self-suspicion is the first step to self-deliverance. Let me say that again. Self-suspicion, suspecting that I might be wrong, is the first step to self-deliverance. Now, when a person is really deceived in an area, and they are not admitting that they have any responsibility and I'm really okay, it usually takes a crisis experience to shock the person and to get his attention. How does a person begin to see the light? There's a crisis. His wife leaves him. There's an accident. There's an illness. The girl gets pregnant. There's a crisis. God allows something to happen to get our
attention.
And what happens is this. Stage one, rebellion, may then move to stage two. Let's look at stage two. Yes, I admit I've got a problem. Now, a person cannot get help until they admit they've got a problem. Yes, I have a problem. But the other problem is this. It's not mine, it's her fault. She nags me. You drink too if you live with that woman, right? And so the blame is put on others. Now, we have a good example of this in Genesis 3:12. And Adam was talking to God. And he had just blown it. And here's what he said. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Now, God, you're a rascal. This woman that you gave me has caused me problems. She gave me from the tree and I ate. So he's put the blame on who? God and Eve. I would not have sinned. I'd have been all right if I hadn't had that woman. And after all, that woman came from you. Ultimately, God, you're responsible for the condition that I'm in. Admission, yeah, I've got a problem, but they're the problem. They're to blame for it. An unwillingness to take responsibility for being the way he is. Are you willing? Am I willing to assume responsibility for my life? Sure, I drank too much, but you would too if you had my wife. Well, it's my environment. It's my circumstances. It's my parents. Well, I go out and do this and that or the other because I don't like my folks. It's their fault. Well, I'm too short, so that's the way I act the way I do. Well, you know, I came from a poor background. That's my problem. Blaming everybody else. Well, my mother rejected me, so I hate all women. Now, these are things that indeed affect, but they do not determine what a person does. There can be effect by circumstances. We can look at the circumstances, but I am responsible for my response to circumstances. Would you agree? My actions are only the result of someone else's behavior. Now, see, that's a lie. Here's a person saying, my actions are the result of what somebody did to me. No. I hear this quite often. I think the devil made me do that. And we can put a lot of blame on the devil. Now, he can influence us. And he does. But he is not going to be judged according to the way I respond to him. I'm going to be judged according to the way I respond to him. A person cannot receive any kind of help at all until he finally gets to this stage, admission. I have a problem. Now, pride doesn't want us to admit we have a problem, right? Pride doesn't want us to admit that I can't handle my problem. And pride does not want us to admit that I'm responsible for my actions. I'd rather blame somebody else. But once we've reached this stage, and we see that I'm not getting too far with my problem, then we go to the third stage called compliance. I've got a problem. You fix me. Now, lots of times folks will come in for counseling, and there's an attitude of, I'm willing to let you solve my problems for me. I recognize that I've got a problem. Now, a definition of compliance is this. It's agreeing. It's going along, but not enthusiastically. It's going along, yes, I've got a problem, but I'm really not all out to fix that problem. It's sort of a half-heartedness. Grudgingly, I'm going along. Well, I'm here, my wife wanted me to come. You fix me. You fix me so I won't have my problems anymore. Now what this person does is places all of the responsibility on the counselor. Places all the responsibility on the counselor for the life change. So you pray for me. You deliver me. You do it. That's not right. The counselor is not going to be held responsible for your life. Who is? We are. Individually, we are going to be held responsible. Oftentimes, the person will go away and say something like this, "Well, Danny didn't help me. Lloyd didn't help me. Peter didn't help me. So-and-so didn't help me. I'm going there, I'm going to get help, and they didn't help me." Compliance. Compliance. 2 Chronicles 25:2. Just a short little scripture, but it's tremendous. It says this, "He did right in the sight of God, yet not with a whole heart." He was doing right. He went in for counsel. He read some scriptures. But he didn't do it with all of his heart. Now, in this stage, when a person's in this stage trying to deal with this problem, you can see there's no real commitment to changing the problem and no commitment to the Lord. In this stage, a person is very changeable. They adjust themselves to whatever crowd they're in. Now, if they're in the church, they're going to sing and praise and pray and amen, hallelujah. But out at work, they're going to be listening to the jokes. They're going to be participating. Whatever crowd they're in, they change to that color. Now, that is a sign of being in the compliant stage. They're with the sheep, they'll bleat with the sheep. When they're with the wolves, they'll howl with the wolves. The problem that you and I have as counselors is that sometimes we want to help them more than they want help. So we may be calling them and encouraging them, and "Have you done your homework? Have you done..." "Well, no, I'm going to, though. I'm going to do that." And here's a person who is wanting someone else to do what only they themselves can do. The fourth stage, acceptance. I'm responsible for my life. I have a problem. I must solve it, and nobody can solve it for me. They may give me some guidelines. They may give me some direction. God may give some inspiration and some enlightenment through them, but it is up to me to begin to work on this problem. I wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, accept personal responsibility for my past, for my present, for my future actions. I am responsible for my actions. If I'm nasty to my kids, who's supposed to take responsibility for that? Me. If you're rebellious toward your parents, who's supposed to take responsibility for that? You are. Acceptance says, I am going to throw all of my weight into correcting the problem. A total commitment to solving the problem. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'm not playing games with anybody. You're not going to have to draw out the past. You're not going to have to say, "Well, boy, I sure hope he doesn't find this out about me." It's getting right out front and saying, "Listen, I'll tell you anything. I don't want to cover up anything. I want God to use you, and I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to cooperate with God in this." Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 22. And we'll just read little bits and pieces of Ephesians 4, 22 through 25. It says, "In reference to your former manner of life, the way you used to be, you lay aside the old self. Lay aside the old practices. You lay them aside. It doesn't say now the counselor is going to lay that aside for you. The pastor is going to lay that aside for you. It says you lay it aside. Verse 24 says, and put on the new self. Lay aside the old, put on the new. Put on some new actions. Now these are definite actions that we are to do. Verse 25 gives an example. Lay aside falsehood. Now here's a guy who's got a lying problem. He just lies. It's just easy for him to lie. It's easier to lie than tell the truth. So he says, lay aside falsehood. Well, what am I supposed to do? Speak the truth. Even when it hurts. Even when you're going to get in trouble. Speak the truth. Now, this is just something that we are told to do. Verse 28, let him who steals steal no longer. Lay aside stealing. I've been a thief. I got problems. I admit it. Doesn't make any difference if I was hungry. God says you shouldn't steal, and you shouldn't steal that food. There's another way to handle it. Not only am I not to steal, but rather let him get a job, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Now, the opposite of stealing is what? Giving. That's right. So he goes out and he gets a job so that he can give to those that he used to be stealing from. Now, these are particular actions that this person in this stage 4 is doing. Lay aside the old, put on the new. This is a choice of one's what? Will. Aren't you glad that God didn't make us like animals, where we just go by inner stimulus and inner responses? And no, God gives us a choice. We can choose against our feelings. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. God says, I'm not going to hold you responsible for your feelings. I'm holding you responsible for the way you act. So here we have a total commitment. Now, along with this total commitment, we see, Lord, I am sorry. I have sinned. In the particular area where you have a problem, admit it. Call it sin. Call it what it is. God, I'm sorry and I repent and I ask that you forgive me and cleanse me. Now let's look in a moment at step 5. Wait just a minute. This isn't enough. Step 4 is not enough. Step 4 is not enough. How many have been to step 4 time and time and time again? I am so willed out. I am so tired I can hardly wiggle. I've gone to everybody. I have meant business. I've been sincere. I've asked God to help me. I don't know what to do. You see, God wants every one of us to come to that place of total commitment to Him. But total commitment is not enough. It's not enough. It takes more than that. Let's look at number 5. Number 5 is a total surrender of oneself to God. Recognizing that our commitment to God to perform what I want to do isn't enough. God is literally going to have to come in and begin to release His power through me. And that's called the exchange life. Lord, I can't. I can't do this. There's a time when I didn't want to. There was another time when I blamed somebody else for the problem. But now, Lord, I accept responsibility and I mean business, and I've been trying for 3 years to get victory in this area and I've not been able to. And God says, I never said you could. If you do that all in your own strength, then you get the credit for it. I want to show myself strong on your behalf. You vacate even good religious self. Vacate and allow Christ to come in and take over control. Take over your life. Now, that doesn't mean I no longer have to do anything, but there is an admission that, Lord, I can't. You must come in and begin to supply the power to do and to be, and as you do that, then I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I will obey you. Would you like some scriptures on that? Galatians 2:20. Let's look at this. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. It's Christ living his life through me. There is the power. Now, we have a problem here. I think we have a problem in our church. We know too much. Because we know intellectually, I can't do this. And so we say, I can't do it. I can't live the life. And then we go out to try to live the life. And you know what God allows? God allows us to fail. A little lady came in not long ago. Been raised in this church. Knows the principles. And for the last 6 years has struggled and strived to have a good relationship with her husband. And it didn't dawn on her what she was doing until she came in. She says, I am a failure. I am a total failure. I'm a wipeout. I can't live it. And I says, that's right. You can't do it. And you've been trying. It's more than four. It's more than accepting the responsibility. It's five. It's total surrender and an exchange of our life for God's life to live through. But oftentimes we know that intellectually, and God will have to let it become a part of our experience. Failure has to become a part of our experience to one degree or another until we realize we can't live the life. Are you with me? Nod your head if you see what a little bit I'm talking about. I see a couple of heads. Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 13:21 says this. It's talking about the God of peace will equip you in every good thing to do His will. He will equip you in every good thing to do His will. Now, who does the equipping here? God. And who does the doing? We do. Let's look at that again. Says, the God of peace will equip you in every good thing to do His will. We do the doing. He does the equipping. How does He do it? He is working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. He does the equipping. He does the working. He changes the motives. He gives us the desires. He gives us the want to. He'll give us the direction. He'll give us the light to go. But we got to go. John 14:6 says, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the light. He's the power behind the light. Well, every home has some problems. But my wife, I mean to tell you, she has an imagination. She's imagining all kinds of things. She's easily upset. You know, these emotional women. In fact, my homes are a lot better than most. Denying the problem. Stage one. Stage two. Yes, we do have a problem. We quarrel a lot. But you know, it's my wife. She nags me all of... She is a perfectionist. I mean, I can't do anything right. And it just tears me up. It just, and so I get, well, I hit her. I can't help it. I wouldn't hit her if she wouldn't nag me. It's her problem. I get frustrated. Or, you know, my dad,
He just didn't show me affection when I was growing up. And my mom didn't show me affection when I was growing up. So I just can't put my arm around my wife and tell her I love her. You think that's really right? It could influence, make it more difficult to do it. But do you really believe that the person could not say, I love you? Why doesn't he? He doesn't want to. He doesn't feel like it. He's not putting his will into action, and he's not released that particular area to God. My mother rejected me. She beat me. And therefore, I don't like any women. And that's why I can't love my wife. That definitely would have some effect. But is he an animal, or is he a person who can say, I can choose against my feelings and I can choose to show love? You can see, and in the admission, he's blaming somebody else. My folks quarrel all the time, so that's just the way it is in my home. That was the model I had. Okay, the third, compliance. Well, Mr. Counselor, I'm here because we have a lot of problems in the home, and we quarrel a lot, and my wife wanted me to come with her to talk to you. Now, I'll come this once, and I sure hope you can help her. Yeah, I got a little slight problem in here. I beat her up last night, yeah. Just tell us what to do. Tell me what to do. Come back the next week. Did you read chapter 2? Oh, man, I'm a slow reader. I have a hard time reading. You know, I just can't understand words and so forth. Lots of times when someone will say something like this, I'll try to pick an area that I think might motivate them. Like, if I said, I knew where there was a piece of property in Titusville. And on that piece of property, there is $1 million of buried treasure. And if between now and next week you can come up with $10,000, you can go and get that piece of property. What do you think that guy'd do? He'd go out and rob a bank. He'd do whatever he needed to do, right? In order to get something that was important to him. No motivation in compliance. And then he said, you know, I did what he said. It didn't help me. I read that chapter. Didn't help a bit. Number 4, acceptance. I failed my wife. I'm taking responsibility for my family. I failed her. I failed my family. And I'm going to do anything. I mean business. I'll take off work. I'll quit my job. I'll move to Ohio. I'll do anything in order to make this marriage go. You tell me what to do. I want to take responsibility for my life. Forgive me. Yes, I'll go to my mother and ask her to forgive me for hating her. Yes, I'll go to my kids and ask them to forgive. I'll do anything. Now that fella is close to really getting help. The last step here, Lord, I know that my sincerity still is not enough. You're going to have to come in. I release this whole situation to you, and you begin to do in me. You're going to have to change my feelings and change my attitudes, and I'm willing not to walk by feeling. I'm willing to walk by faith and what you say in this word. And you're going to have to be my life. Come in and take over and be my life, be my power, and be my strength. One more, and we're through. Have you been able to determine a problem in your life, and have you figured out what area, what stage you're in? Have you been able to figure out maybe why there's not been victory? Maybe you hadn't admitted the problem. maybe, yes, I've admitted it, but it's her fault. Or maybe I'm depending upon somebody else to do it for me. If she'll change, then I'll change. Are you at 4 or 5? Here's a stronghold of lust in the life. I don't have a problem. Lust isn't a problem. Everybody does it. God made sex in a way, and sex is good. I can do what I want to. After all, God will forgive me, you know. I prayed a prayer 5 years ago, so I know everything's going to be all right. Because I prayed and asked Jesus in 5 years ago, and I know I'm shacking up with several gals, but He'll forgive me. Rebellion. Admission. I have a problem. I've got a problem. But you know, lust is a problem, all right. But my dad, he committed incest with me. And so I have a very terrible view of man. That's real. This person's got to forgive. This person has to say, well, what does God say about sex? Well, my dad has, when I was growing up, had stacks of porno magazines. I got all this stuff in my mind. Well, that had some effect, but we can't blame them, can we? We're judged for our actions, not from a dad's actions, not from a mom's actions. Lady walks into a man's office. He has a lust problem. And she says, God told me that we are to get together and that we're meant for one another. Didn't make any difference that he was married and she was married. But God told her, and he wanted to believe a lie, so he believed it. I have a lust problem. My wife is cold, she's indifferent, and she won't meet my needs. I hadn't had sex in 6 months. It's her problem. I can do what I'm doing because of what she is doing. Admission of the problem. Next, yes, I have a problem. Now, Brother Danny, just cast this demon of lust out of me, and I'll be all right. You know, just cast it out. Get it out of there. You do it. And let's say it doesn't go. Well, boy, what's wrong with him? Well, have you thrown away your Playboy magazines? No, but I'm going to. Yeah. I'm going to. Do you still go to the mall and watch the girls? Well, I didn't last week. What about the TV shows you're watching? See, here he is. He's still hanging on to the sin. He's still hanging on to the air. He hasn't completely released it. Playing games with himself, playing games with God. Have you gone to that person and said, hey, this is it. We cannot see one another any longer. We cannot talk to one another. And then the little voice says, but you know, who's going to witness to her if you don't? So he says, well, I know. Rather than have sex with her, I'll go and I'll have a Bible study with her. How long will that last? Long enough to get him back into it. Let go. Quit playing games. Compliance. Then acceptance. Then acceptance of the problem. Lust is wrong. Lord, I'm going to run from it. Forgive me. I repent. I'm removing anything and everything in my life and in my past that would give strength to this. I'll make calls of restitution and forgiveness. I'll memorize Scripture. Lord, I'll spend time with you. Lord, I won't even date if that's your will. Lord, I'll break with those old friends. I'll pursue good friendships. I'll go to proper places. I'll put a watch and a guard on my eyes. But Lord, I've been here before. So So I'm asking you to do what I cannot do in and of myself. And I exchange my strength for yours, my life for yours. I place my will in your hands, and I'm committed to following whatever you tell me to do and wherever you tell me to go. And I'm asking you to do a supernatural work inside me. I really believe that if we will get honest, see where we are, don't rationalize, release it all and take away the ground of the stronghold or whatever the area is, seek counsel, but assume responsibility for our own actions and for our own life, and then call upon God and say, Lord, you do what I can't do, and you be my strength, there will be victory in this area in the new year.